like a copy of God's Word, Bible, extract from the Bible, yours for the taking and choosing. If you'd like one, then do feel free to come and ask us for one. It's offered to you quite freely and, of course, without any obligation to you. Hello, my dear. How are you?
Can I have one of your books?
Of course you can, ma'am. Which one would you like?
Which one?
You can have both of you, one.
Oh.
Want them both?
Oh, bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you, my dear.
And you.
Have a nice day.
And you. Even though I've got chronic disease of the kidneys, and my mum died of kidney disease.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, things like that.
Yes.
But I've got stage 4, but no symptoms. I go again the 2nd of July back to the doctor.
Okay.
So will you pray for my sister too?
Yeah, well, I'll pray for
Janice,
both, yeah, sure.
Janice Gale Harden.
Well, just Janice, that'll do,
just
yeah.
Janice.
And you?
Pamela.
Janice and Pamela, yeah, we'll do that.
Thank you,
do that.
And all the best.
Thank you. And there's nothing...
Keep teaching the gospel.
That's it.
And the word.
Yeah, amen.
And you can't go wrong.
That's it.
I have a good sermon, aren't I? I should be up there.
You should indeed. You're not from these parts, eh? You're not a Stokey.
I'm from Cannock. I'm in a care home.
Yeah, I thought that.
A care home.
I preach in Cannock too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Normally on a Wednesday. Uh-huh. Every other Wednesday. Walsall 1 week and Cannock the next.
I'm the only one in the family who's a bit more into the Lord.
Right.
I think I am.
Okay, right. Well, there's no substitute for being right with the Lord, because we're all going to die sometime.
Even if I worked in Bernardo's done side, me does it?
No, not at all. Not by good works.
I'm not born of the water, though, so will I go out?
Only faith. No, only faith. Faith in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved.
And I won't even go hell. I'm not wicked.
Not if you believe. Well, the Bible says we're all wicked. We're all wicked. And that's why we need to believe. We need to trust in Jesus. In that day, we need to be found trusting in the righteousness of another, not our own.
God, I'm looking up here. I'm falling over here. You're too high up.
Yep.
The Lord is too high up.
Read
or he's not too high up to listen to prayers.
No.
That's a good verb.
That's it,
I said he's not too high up to listen to the prayers.
That's it. Call the name of the Lord and you shall be saved.
Use that bit in the sermon.
Yeah, just for me, Pamela. Sure. I will do, yeah.
He's not too high up to listen to your prayers.
Absolutely.
Have you ever heard of that saying?
No, not really.
There you go, then.
Yeah.
I've said so much.
Sure. Have a nice day.
I came from Cannock area.
Yeah. Okay.
God bless.
And you too. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
So there you go, friends.
Keep spreading the news.
Amen. That's it. Yep. So you see, that's how easy it is to receive the Word of God. It's offered to you freely, as I say, and yours for the taking, no cost, no obligation to you whatsoever. You just walk away and do with it as you will. But who knows, but by, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there's no substitute for it. God hath spoken, and of course, he still speaks through His Word. The written Word of God, the Bible, and of course the incarnate Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, yours for the taking, just as that lady received the Word of God a moment or two ago, yours for the taking. In our Protestant evangelical catechism, the question is asked, how doth it appear that there is a God? And that's a good question. Well, especially in today's society, Western world, in fact, well, I dare say the world over. Because the world over, well, you'll find disbelieving souls, you'll find men and women who have fallen prey to, well, what they call in these modern days, atheism. So how does it in fact appear that there is a God? Well, I could turn that question round And I could ask it this way, how does it not appear that there is a God? To some of us, well, it would seem quite obvious, you know, but I guess maybe if you're blind, blinded that is by sin, then, well, it won't appear to you that there is a God. But of course, being blind and claiming that you are blind, blinded by sin that is, that doesn't leave you with an excuse. Because whoever you are, well, God says, you have no excuse at all. What if God says concerning this, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So whoever you be, wherever you come from, your background be, your creed, your color, you have no excuse for not knowing that God is, and not knowing God, not seeking after God, lest you should find him. So, in answer to the question asked, how does it appear that there is a God? Well, the very light of nature, the Bible tells us, well, what we call nature, what we call the order of nature, the laws of nature, well, they really are, you see, the works of the Creator, the God who made you, and of course, who made all things. Of course, you can lean on the broken reed of evolutionism or so-called atheism, but that doesn't give you any excuse at all for not knowing God. That's just another way, well, as the Bible says elsewhere, of holding the truth, suppressing the truth, holding down the truth in unrighteousness. And of course, men do this. Why? You might ask yourself the question, and it would be a good question, well, why would men do that? You know, when it's obvious, you know, that there is a God, that there is a Creator, and one who would be your Savior, why would men go about all the day long denying and suppressing, holding the truth in unrighteousness? The truth that is of the knowledge of God. Why would they do that? Well, maybe perhaps if for some reason they didn't want there to be a God, if for some reason they thought that God, you know, was not kind of smiling upon them, in fact was angry with them, displeased with them. Well, you see, we got this way of, you know, doing, all of us, we all do it in some way, suppressing truth, you know. Some things we don't like, some experience, perhaps, you know, that took place in your past life, maybe even childhood. And you'd be asked about it, and you say, I don't remember that. No, you do, but you suppress that truth because it's an uncomfortable, it's a displeasing experience, and you just want to, well, just blot it out. And we do that all the time, you see. And because of these natures that we've got, these fallen natures, because we're contrary to God in our natures, in our practice, because we know that God is not well pleased with us, we got this guilt going, you see. And, well, you'll discover it the world over. And every day, every generation, men and women have been living with this guilt, you see, and looking for ways of dealing with the guilt. And some, of course, they do it by man and self, you know, building religious edifices, as it were. And then, of course, some do it by just plainly suppressing that truth, that knowledge they have about God, and go about, you know, living their lives with that truth suppressed, you know, convincing themselves that there is no God. But the Bible says quite clearly, you see, that whoever you are, you're without excuse for not knowing that God is, and of course for not seeking after God, that you might be saved, that you might come to a knowledge of Him. But the reason why men and women hold the truth in unrighteousness is because, you see, we got these fallen natures. We know that we're on the wrong side of God. We know that we're guilty. But the way to deal with guilt is not to invent yourself a religion or to embrace, you know, a man-invented religion, you know, or to find some ingenious way of suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God, such as evolutionism, some philosophy of man, but rather to seek after God that you might find Him. So you see, the nature itself, all that God has created, that alone leaves a man, leaves a woman without excuse, because you see, the burning question that should be on your mind as you gaze upon God's wonderful, beautiful creation, created order, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. The psalmist says in the Old Testament of the Bible, the question that ought to be at the very front of your mind, who is the God who made all this? Who is the God who brought all this into being? How wonderful He must be if He can make, if He can design and accomplish such a creation as this. But that question, of course, would be far from your mind, because you're on the wrong side of God, because you are in want of reconciliation to God. But because of nature itself, because of all the things that God has created, because of your own being, because in God you have life, motion, and being, you live and move and have your being in God. So no excuse at all, you see. Nature itself, the created order, leaves you without excuse. And then, of course, the providence of God, the goodness and kindness of God, that the Bible says ought to lead you to repentance. That is a change of mind, a turning from your sin, a turning from your suppression of the truth and unrighteousness, and a turning to God, lest you might find Him. But you see, the goodness of God in giving you life and being, in giving you health and strength, as much of it as you enjoy, and giving you rain in due season, crops that grow and produce food for you, giving you families to live in, those, of course, who haven't yet abandoned family life. But you see, all that goodness of God, the kindness of God. Look at all the plenty that you enjoy in this land of yours. You have health services, you have food and clothing, shelter. All these good things come to you, you see, from the hand of God, the God who made you, and the God who in His divine wisdom guides every one of His creatures to such an extent, the Bible says, that not even a sparrow falls from the ground without divine permission. So you see, God's not like the watchmakers, you know, that He makes a watch and He sets it ticking and stand back and just leaves it and watches it ticking away. God is ever present and active in His creation, divinely, providentially guiding every circumstance, even in your own life. And maybe perhaps that providence of God, from your point of view, isn't working out too well. You say, well, you know, I've got sickness, I've got disease, you know, I got this problem, that problem. Well, maybe perhaps God has brought these providences into your circumstances, into your life, to, you know, as it were, tap you on the shoulder, you know, and say, hey, guy, you know, hey, I'm here, you know, and you're ignoring me, rejecting me, and I sent my Son into the world that through Him that you might be saved, and I brought these providences upon you that you might turn and look upwards and look to God, the God who created you, the God who providentially steers and guides you through this world, and the God, of course, who would save you, because you see, God's redemption plan, ultimately he's given us his word. He has spoken clearly. And his word, of course, well, it abides forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, says Jesus, but my word shall abide forever. The flower fadeth, the grass withereth, but the word of God shall stand forever. God has spoken infallibly. Every word from the Bible is the word of God. And God has spoken clearly concerning his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world that lost, fallen sinners, ruined sinners might be repaired through God, brought back to God from the dark path of sin. But God has made it clear, you see, there is but one way, and one way only, through his Son Jesus Christ. Not man-made religion, not man-made philosophies. Only through Jesus Christ, his Son. Not through any good works of yours. Not because you happen to be religious or irreligious. Not because you do works of charity. Because you give to the blind and to the poor. Not by the works of any man shall any man ever be or woman be justified before God. Only through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you. This is a redemption plan, you see. This is God's plan from before the foundation of the world, that he would provide such a Savior for a lost humanity. And just as was prophesied many, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago in the Old Testament of the Bible, so it has come to pass just as God said it would. Oh, I tell you, you can trust God's word like you can trust nobody else's. You can't trust the word of the church. You can't trust the word of ministers. You can't trust the word of popes. You can't trust the words of religious gurus. You can't trust my word. The only one's word you can trust is God's. And I tell you, it's been put to the test many times. There's no book. There's no writings being so microscopically examined as the words of this book, the Bible. And clever men, more clever than you and I, have examined it and tried to disprove it, only to find they could not. Because it's the word of God, and the back of it is the wisdom of God. Who can overcome the wisdom of God? No man. Certainly not the wisdom of this world. That's nonsense. That's rubbish. Even the cleverest of men are fools in comparison to the wisdom of God. No one shall ever gainsay. No one shall ever overcome the word of God, because the wisdom of God is at the back of it. And the power of God's behind it. Men, you know, powerful men, rulers, princes, presidents have tried to banish, you know. They built an iron curtain in Europe once and tried to keep the Bible out of their countries, Russia, former Soviet Union countries. An iron curtain couldn't keep the word of God out. It still got in, and people were still converted, were saved by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So men can try, emperors can try to banish the word of God. They're talking just now about banning the Bible in California. I really wish they would do that, you know. Because if they do, there'll be more Bibles found in California than ever there was before. Men will be craving for it. I wish they'd ban it in this country. You'd all be wanting it then. You'd all be wanting it then. But you see, friends, it can't be overcome. It can't be that you can't destroy the word of God. You can take this book and you can put it to the flames. And you can stand back and say, there you are, I've destroyed God's word. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Nobody, 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 nobody can destroy the word of God. That's an impossibility. God in the darkest of times, and in the darkest of places, and in the darkest of hearts and minds. So you see, friends, the power of God, the wisdom of God is behind the redemption of God, and it goes marching on through every generation. So wise up and see that there does appear to be a God. And it appears from nature itself, it appears from the providence of God, it appears from the redemption of God that He has provided for the souls of men and women such as you and I, that through believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, you might be saved. Saved from the wrath to come, saved from the judgment of God. Saved from your sin, saved from His guilt. Your sin atoned for, expiated, forgiven, and the wrath of God removed from off you through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that alone, no other way. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, even your salvation, to him that believeth, the one who trusts in Jesus, who trusts in the righteousness of another, because yours and mine's is hopeless, yours and mine's is not worth a rag. And then, of course, well, it does appear that there is a God, because He has spoken, and because He has given us His Word, He has given us His written Word. The written Word of God, it's infallible, inspired of God, it comes from the mind of God. Yes, men wrote the Bible, people say, but they were inspired of God to do so. They were carried, they were borne along by the Spirit of God to write the things that they wrote, so that the finished product was indeed the Word of God. What God would have them to say, and what God would have you and I to know. The Word of God, you see. Oh, it appears that there is a God from the Word of God. That's the only place, you see, you get the right necessary information. You don't know what God's like, there's only one place to go. That's why our confessions of faith, you see, they always begin with the Bible, not God. Because if you begin with God, well, you begin it with a wax nose, you know. And you can press it into any shape you want. An Islamic shape, a Roman Catholic shape, a Buddhist shape, a Confucius shape, you know. Any shape that you want. We need to know, we need the truth about God, you see. So we begin with the Word of God, because the Word of God is His Word. It's His revelation of Himself, what He is like. Holy, righteous, just, loving, compassionate, kind, merciful. That's what He's like, and more, much, much more. I'm only giving you a taste. And the God, of course, who has revealed Himself ultimately in the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ, the man born of a woman, born under the law, who paid the penalty of the law that we might escape the law of sin and death. So you see, friends, the Word of God causes it to appear that there is a God who has revealed Himself. But not in your world religions, not in your cults and sects, but friends, in His Word, the Bible. That's why we offer you the Bible to start with. That's why we offer you the Bible to finish with. Because it's the only Word you can trust. It's the only Word you can put your faith in. And it's the only Word that will lead you, direct you, counsel you towards God and towards heaven, instead of falling into an eternal darkness forever and ever. So the Word of God, you see, and of course, well, in order to understand the Word of God, you need the Spirit of God. Because only the Spirit of God, you see, can search out the things of God. Only the Spirit of man, you see, knows what's in a man, you know? You know my thoughts, you can't know my thoughts unless I reveal them to you. And you can't know God's thoughts unless God reveals them to you by His Spirit. But you see, a man must be, Jesus says, born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. You see, Christianity is the only spiritual religion. All the rest are of the flesh. you see, you can read it, understand it intellectually, but you can't understand it spiritually, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. You need spiritual enlightenment, because you see, sin has blinded our hearts, darkened our minds, and we're unable to understand the things of God. So unless God explains them to us, unless God gives us the light, unless God infuses light in our hearts and minds, we'll never understand the kingdom of God, and therefore never enter it. You must be born again, Jesus says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. So you need the Spirit of God, you see. You need a Bible, and you need God's Holy Spirit. You need to be on your knees crying out to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." You need to be on your knees, no sir. You need to be on your knees crying out to God that He would be merciful to you. He would give you that light, give you that understanding, help you to see, remove the darkness, the blindness of mind, and give to you what you don't deserve, His salvation. Through Jesus Christ, His Son, the only begotten of the Father, oh, who came and brought grace and truth with Him. So it does appear, you see, that there is a God by the light of nature, God's creation, His providence, redemption, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see, that reveal to us the knowledge that we need, the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. I'm not talking about the knowledge of religion, that's a different thing altogether. You know all about religion. You study theology. Go to Oxford, Cambridge. You get a degree in the matter. But that doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. If you haven't understood it, if you haven't embraced it, if you haven't done what the Word of God tells you to do, that is, if you haven't repented of your sin, if you haven't forsaken your way and your unrighteous thoughts, but you're still in your sin. You can claim, anybody can claim to be a Christian, but you follow after Jesus. Have you done what He says? Have you done what He tells you to do? Have you repented and believed the gospel, the good news concerning the salvation that He brings to sinners? Have you done that? Or you call yourself what you will, but you ain't no Christian. You haven't obeyed the first principles of God's Word. Now, dear friends, you need to do what it says. Because you see, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see, they're sufficient. You know, they're enough for anything and everything that a person needs in order to be right with God. And here's the thing, friends, I tell you, you know, you look for cures for many things. You look for cures for sickness and all kinds of afflictions and all the effects of your sin. Because why? Because they make you unhappy. They make you unhappy, but you want to be happy, you want to be truly, and you want to be constantly, and you want to be always happy. Then, friends, you need to get in a right relationship with God. That's man's greatest need in any and every day and generation. And I tell you, the Word and the Spirit of God are sufficient to bring any man, woman, or child, however simple they might be, however clever they might be. In fact, I think myself, the simpler the better, but there you go. Not everybody would agree with me. But dear friends, sufficient, you see, sufficient to bring man to a knowledge, not just that there is a God, but into a right relationship with God. Their sins forgiven, the guilt removed, and on the pathway to eternal glory with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Instead of a hellish hovel, friends, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see, working together, they are effective. So effective, I tell you, infallibly effective. They work in a man, you see, that's again why we offer to you the Word of God. I could give you a book to read, and maybe it would profit you. Maybe it would help. help you. But the word of man compared to the word of God, I give you God's word any time, any day of the week. Because the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to get into your inners. It's able to discern the thoughts of your heart and mind. Friends, it's God's word and God's spirit. I tell you, working together, they are effective. And men and women who embrace the word of God, it works in them effectually, bringing them to the salvation that God intends it to bring them to. That's why He gave it to us. That's why He gave us the Bible. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. You don't need the mumblings, the mutterings of men. Or popes and Muhammad, you don't need them, friends. It's the word of God that you need, found alone in the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Salvation's what it's about, beginning to end, and it is effective, very, very effective. I tell you, in bringing men to salvation, there are men and women the world over, I tell you, who could stand here if they were here and testify. I read the word of God, and I was enlightened, I was saved. I came to a knowledge of the true God. I tell you, there are men in far-flung countries, places like China, I tell you, they would be fighting over this book just to get a page out of it, hungering for the word of God, because they have no access to it, or very little. So you see, friends, it's effective. It's effective. And it's all that God has promised to use. God uses nothing else, and God is faithful to nothing else but His word. So I commend it to you, because it does appear that there is a God by the word of God. And then, of course, like I said, for salvation, because, well, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line, God's salvation. Because we are a bad people. We're a bad, bad people. There's none of us good. Man was telling me, we were witnessing this morning outside an abortion clinic in Manchester where they slaughter. In their unbelief, they slaughter unborn, defenseless infants. That's what unbelief does to men and women. It makes savages of them. And we were there testifying to the truth of God and His salvation at this murder mill. And a man said to me, I was a bad man. I won't use the word that he used, but, you know, you get it. He didn't think I was a good man. I tell you, he doesn't know the half. He doesn't know the half. If he knew my heart, I tell you. Friends, there's none of us good. None that doeth good. No, not one, says God. All gone out of the way, unprofitable. None righteous, says God. No, not a one. And not by religion, not by the works of your hands. Only through faith in Jesus Christ comes the salvation of God for lost, ruined sinners. But that's why God gave us His word. It's a revelation of God. How does it appear that there is a God? Because He has revealed Himself. Not hidden Himself away. It's clear, evident. We have the evidence. It's not a step into the unknown. It's not intellectual suicide. It's the very opposite. It's the salvation of your rational faculties. It puts a man or woman in his right mind and sits them down at the feet of Jesus to learn of Jesus what he ought to have learned a long, long time ago. For the word of God, friends, we recommend it to you. I sincerely do. Read it for yourself, because it does appear that there is a God. And maybe, who knows, as you read the word of God, and we pray for you, that God give you His Spirit, that maybe perhaps God will enlighten your mind, chase away the darkness, heal the blindness, and reveal to you the knowledge of Himself in the person came into the world. God manifest in the flesh. God stepped down into this world scene to be abused at the hands of men, cruelly treated, crucified, nailed to a cross, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. In order that this salvation, reported of and recorded in the written word of God, might be yours, that you might be saved by the blood of the Lamb, washed and made clean, washed from your stain of sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have to be, you must be, in order to be right with God. Only through the sacrificial death of God's Son, only by the way of the cross, foolishness to the world, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, the power of God unto salvation. Word of God, friends, we commend it to you. Get to know God, get right with God. This is eternal life, says Jesus. Knowing God in a right and a good relationship, that is, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom He sent, that you might know eternal life in His name. Oh, take the word of God. We offer it freely to you. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours for the taking. You'd like one. You come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. But friends, do remember this. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye, He says, and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you cannot enter the kingdom of God but by the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. So remember these words. And friends, do what Jesus says. Obey Him. Repent ye, He says. Repent.